Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Newton, for coming all the way and providing this presentation. So off the bat, generally when we have an actuarial presentation, part of that is a five-year outlook. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to ask a question as to why there wasn't a five-year outlook presented as part of this.
We put the projection of the dollar amounts of contribution, and there was already so much. Real estate got real valuable real quick, and I was trying to, get as concise as I could. So future presentations will, that kind of stuff will come back in. So
thank you. And I do understand that there are a lot of different factors that the city is looking at in any potential five-year outlook, as well as I do think that the most important pieces are the pieces that you presented on, the long-term liabilities with OPEB and the pensions. So let's see. From doing some math based on comparing pages 9 and pages 18, it appears that, and correct me if I'm wrong, it would be somewhere around $8.1 million or $8.2 million less that the city would be contributing to combined fire, police, pension one, and to OPEB over the next three fiscal years, that is fiscal year 24, 25, and 26, specifically breaking down those numbers, about $2.6 million less in fiscal year 24, $3.5 million less in fiscal year 25, and $4.4 million less in fiscal year 26, if we go with the proposed plan as opposed to the seeing through the 40-year plan as currently scheduled.
Yeah, that seems about right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I do want to express concerns that, we find ourselves in this hole, and I want to make sure to state on the record that I think it's generally a good idea for us to be putting in more as opposed to less as a city. Although I do certainly understand the logic in terms of an investment strategy of having those more long-term geared investments, having it as potentially as one bucket that allows us some flexibility in the future versus two. I understand those arguments. I'm not taking a position on that. I'll leave that piece to the investment professionals. But speaking to the point that I can actually speak to, this is something where I would much prefer to see the city contributing more, not less, in the next three fiscal years. Let's see. My next question. My next question is for the smoothing formula. I understand that that works by looking at the returns for the last 5 years.
Oh, correct. Mm-hmm.
Is year 2022 included in the, as part of that 5 years that we're looking at as part of the projections here?
It is in the stress test here.
Okay. And yeah. What was the return in year 2022?
Between a minus 14 and minus 15% for most of the plans.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so next question has to do with the city's long-term outlook in terms of retired employees and active employees. So it's my understanding that within the last few years, the city went from having more active to more retired and continues along that trend. Mm-hmm. About how many years until that ratio would stabilize And do we know about where that ratio would be expected to stabilize, given that many of the employees are required to have 25 years of active service?
Right. Generally, well, one, you have to presume that your active population is going to stay about what it is. If your active population declines, it's going to clearly be hard to stabilize that ratio. But assuming that that stays about what it is, within about a decade, you should begin to see that ratio start coming back down to you. On the municipal plan, you're probably looking at the long term being about 1.2, so 1.2 actives for every retiree, and then your police and fire plans probably are closer to 1-to-1, even long term, even with the new plans. So,
yeah, I suppose that I might be a little bit seeing it a little bit differently, because many of the employees in the police and fire, given that they retire after 25 years, and we would reasonably expect life expectancy of perhaps age 80 plus, if many are retiring in their, say, mid to late 40s, then I would imagine that the ratio might be such that there would be quite a few more retirees than active in the long term when it does stabilize. Let's see, turning back to page 16, there's a reference to, quote, OPEB benefits cost about 8% of salary for new members if advance funded throughout their career. I wanted to check and see if that refers to the use of the word salary refers to the full salary, including overtime and the like, or if that reference to salary is referring to base salary.
I used the pensionable earnings definition in this case, so I think it's all the earnings.
Okay, so all earnings. Okay, that's good for us to have clarified, because the contingency in the contract that was approved for the firefighters union has a 2% contribution, right, based on base salary. So I want to make sure that in the future, for our own reference, we're looking at the apples to apples, and I'm sure that there could be some conversion there. Yeah. But gives me a better sense that if we're looking at base salary alone, it would be it would end up costing a bit over that 8% round numbers. My next question, as part of this presentation, do we have any estimate for anticipated expenditures on upcoming budgets, say fiscal year 2024, which will be heard this May, and or fiscal year 2025, or other budgets further out, as to the following items? And the first item on my list would be as to contractual raises.
I don't have any.
They have built in here a salary increase assumption, and is it 3.75%? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Is your question relating to the pension valuation, what I'm projecting, or the upcoming negotiations for salaries specifically?
I suppose it would be directed to the finance director,
right,
as to projections for contractual raises for fiscal year 2024 budgets.
Director, as long as you please speak into the mic, Claire. Thank you.
The assumptions that they use mimic, frankly, what we've just approved, which I believe is 3.75% or 2.75. Now, we did go up, which is what municipal workers are receiving. Firefighters receive an additional increase, but there's also a discount rate on vacancies. So yes, the contracts that were approved are slightly above the assumptions, but they have built in salary increases in the analysis that they do. And they look at this over a long period of time. They're not looking at 1 year. They're looking at what are the salary increases over a 10 or 20 year horizon.
Thank you, Councilman. Your time is concluded.
I did have a couple of more questions that should be quick.
Well, Councilman, I'm sorry. Because there's nothing being voted on, we're just going to adhere to the strict 10-minute, and I'm going to ask another council person for their input.
Very well. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other questions for members of the council, Councilman Lattisor?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to start by asking Mr. Schaefer a few questions, please. Mr. Schaefer, who gave the direction to the actuaries of what to include in this report?
Mr. Schaefer, please identify yourself, your title.
Peter Schaefer, Finance Director, City of Warwick.
Thank you.
We've been having a conversation, and as you know, going back to the first budget hearing, and we first started funding it, there's a lot of concern about this issue. I can tell you that when we do ratings for the bond agencies, this is the big thing that they focus on. Lack of a plan to deal with our OPEB liability.
Excuse me, Mr. Schaefer, this is taking part of my 10 minutes. The question I asked you was very simple. Who directed the actuaries as to what to include in this presentation?
I didn't direct them at all. I've had conversations with Mr. Newton starting over a year ago about what are our opportunities for funding the OPEB liability. And I came to you to switch so that they would do the analysis of what our OPEB liability was. Joe came up with the idea of, we've gotten to a point now where we can reduce our contribution to the Fire and Police One plan. We've gone from a peak of 415 beneficiaries down to 394. It's gonna keep declining.
Okay, so the answer is essentially the actuaries, they put this report together on their own.
The first two parts of it, and I referred to okay. In the, they don't do negotiations. So that the 2% employee contribution, that's something from the city, and the availability of this medical reserve as a seed money for this, that's from the city.
Okay.
The other two parts are from the actuary.
So you instructed them, or the city instructed them, to include in their forecasts or their projections the 2% OPEB.
And you see these one page at the very end that discusses that possibility.
Okay, so you had instructed them to include that.
Yes.
Well, and I think that was wrong to do that. Because, first of all, we all know about a year ago, I tried to pass an ordinance that would have increased copays, it would have increased the cap on prescription drugs, it would have eliminated lifetime health care for new hires, and it would have put a copay on retirees. So I was told you can't do that because you can't interfere or you can't put any conversations because you can't have a part of the bargaining process. Well, that is precisely what is going on with this 2%. This 2% is being jammed down the throats of police and municipal. And I object to that then, and I object to it now. So if that's the case, if they were instructed to include the 2% copay assumption, why weren't they instructed to give us a projection or an analysis, an alternative analysis, as to what all these numbers would look like if the 2% doesn't happen? Because remember one thing, police and municipal, they have the right to say, we're not doing this. And if that doesn't happen, it doesn't happen for anybody. So I'm curious as to why we didn't have an alternative analysis to show that. If we're going to do this, excuse me, Peter, I'm not quite finished. If we're going to do this in all transparency so that the taxpayers know If this happens, here's what you're going to look at. If that happens, here's what you're going to look at. But that's not what we have here now. What we have here is only the assumption that the police and municipal are going to go ahead and say, fine, we're going to do this 2%. So we don't have that, and I think that's wrong. I think we should have been presented with an alternative analysis.
If you look at this table that's up on the screen, Mr. Newton's presentation does not make use of the $1.2 million. It talks about it on the last page as another possibility. And the other possibility is that would thereby reduce the contribution that the city would have to make. All he does is I informed him about how we had negotiated with the firefighters, that it would in January of 2026 if the other unions agree. He has not used that as part of his numbers. He's okay. Referred to it at the very end.
But the 2% it's spoken to throughout this whole document. You know, this is what the big whoop-de-doo is if we, you know, put this 2% in. So I'm curious as to, you know, why don't we do an analysis of where the burden will be on the taxpayers if the ordinance that I put forward in February of 2022 were passed? This way we can have some real numbers here without you know, adjustments in the books that may not ever happen. And that's wrong. I don't need a response on that. I would like to direct some more questions. And Mr. Chair, if you can when you're keeping track of the minutes, I would appreciate it if you keep track of the minutes that are being used that don't answer my question. I'd like to now speak with
for the record, everyone's abiding to the same amount of time, and that is the 10 minutes.
Sure, then everyone should have that same consideration as I just requested, too. I would like to ask Mr. Newton questions, please. Mr. Newton, when you did this forecast for us, did you take into consideration revenue, consideration is potential $350 million school bond that we could be saddled with, the additional monies, millions of dollars that we need for sewers, $30 million that we need for infrastructure upgrades, a $7 million structural deficit in the current budget was, and also a big thing was revenues. Was any of that considered in these forecasts and how we're going to pay for these things that you projected?
No.
They were not? No.
Not
I think
the pension plan.
I think I remember a while back when that same question was asked. And if I remember correctly, I think the response was that, you know, no, none of that was factored in because that's not what you do.
Correct.
So I think it's pretty strange from where I sit that we're talking about potential spending and we're going to take money here and we're going to do this and we're going to do that without knowing what we have for revenue and we're not knowing what these other bonds are going to cost us, what our other expenses are going to cost us, and where's the money coming from. So I have some problems with that. The other issue that I have a concern with is on page 18. So it appears as though the, let me make sure I clearly understand what's done. Let's go to the municipal. In 2023, we're looking at 8.1 million. In 2026, we're looking at 8.9 million.
Right.
Excuse me. In 2027, we drop down to 3.6 million. That's a $5.3 million retraction.
Correct.
Correct. That you're taking out of the municipal pension?
Well, the funding mechanism that exists now will take that out of the municipal pension.
Okay. So why aren't we doing the same thing with police and fire?
They will at some point. You can
not
see
to that degree.
No. They don't have a base that's that big. The police and fire never got to 60% funded or whatever the municipal plan got to.
So the municipal workers who I think it's fair to say they're probably some of the lowest paid employees in the city. So there's going to be a $5.3 million shift in their pension.
No, there's going to be no shift in their pension.
Where's that $5.3 million going to then? It's being reduced in 2026 from 8.9 to 2027 to 3.6. What happens to that $5.3 million?
Currently, it's going to go into your general budget.
Going to the general budget at the end of the year.
And when you're doing your budget for 2027, currently, there will be, you know, $5.5 million of relief coming from the drop in the municipal plan's funding requirements. And it's because the unfunded liability for the municipal plan is dropping pretty quickly these next 4 years.
How is that drop going to impact the municipal workers? Because the municipal workers, as I think most of you know,
should have no impact on the municipal worker.
You didn't let me finish what I was going to ask. The municipal workers have, their COLAs are based upon the performance of their plan. And if their plan doesn't hit a certain benchmark, which it did not for 7 years, the municipal workers went without a COLA because their plan didn't perform up to what it's supposed to. They're the only contract that I'm aware of that has such a clause, which I think is a fair clause, by the way. They all should have that, but this one doesn't. This one does have that clause. Right. That change in those dollars and cents right there in that line, will that have any effect on whether or not the municipal workers' performance on their pension will hit the benchmark?
No.
It will not.
Thank you, Councilman.
I'm not done.
No, Councilman, your time has expired. And
so, Mr. Chairman, will you be circling back again so that we can have another opportunity for additional comments? This is a huge issue in this city. It's a huge issue for the taxpayers. And we're going to bring this to rest in an hour and a half, hour of conversation. And
well, there's no vote being taken tonight, Councilman, to answer your question. And this is a presentation.
I understand
brought. So I'm not going to debate and argue. Everyone has adhered to the time so that we can have this presentation and ask the prudent, important questions.
So you don't think the questions I asked are important? Is that what you insinuated?
I said you had time to ask your important questions. So now we're going to move on and give other people an opportunity.
So that's it. We're going
to this presentation that we are not voting, putting a vote towards.
It has nothing to do with a vote, Mr. Chairman. It has to do with asking questions and getting answers and gathering information to make us in a better place.
I'm going to continue and ask members of the council. Are there any other questions for members of the council? Councilman McElroy, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe this question would be for Director Schaefer. As to the pensions and the OPEB, what are the assumptions for the ARC for this year and for next year?
For the pension contributions?
Yes, the required contributions.
Joe has provided us, which are
posted. Into the microphone, please, Director.
Yeah. Sorry. Joe has provided us an actual report for all of the plans, and I don't have the exact contribution number in my head, but we know what it's going to be next year.
And they will be made this year and next year?
We know what 24 will be. We don't know. So... this year, the municipal contribution is $8.1 million. Next year, it's going to go to $8.5 million.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions for members of this council? Thank you. I'll now open up questions to members of the... Oh, I'm sorry, Councilman. Was your hand up? Oh, okay. Go ahead. Quick question.
We talked about, you talked about that in order for this new funding strategy to be viewed in a certain way by rating agencies, et cetera, follow generally accepted accounting practices, et cetera, that there would need to be some sort of like commitment to this. So in a municipality where, you know, new mayor could come tomorrow and say, screw it, I want to just keep all the, you know, build playgrounds, whatever. Yeah. What is a long-term commitment look like, and how does that get codified?
I don't think it has to be an ordinance. There is some grace given up front when you put a new plan together, and let's say it was just, you know, a letter, something that your, you know, the city council just approves, or even your finance director just, here's what we're going to do. And it's outlined. And then we'll go ahead and use that and say, this is what they say they're going to do. And we're going to go ahead and reflect that. And as long as the auditor accepts it, then we're all good. Now, the trick comes the first time you don't follow it. Now, there's not as much grace again, and it's going to take more stringent effort to get it back. Does that make sense? So there's actually quite a bit of flexibility up front. We have plans where, you know, just one little page memo that the retirement board said we're going to follow XYZ was enough. I think in this case, we would need something that's not only in the budget, but just, you know, something that's acknowledging this is what we're wanting to do, and this is what we're going to move towards. And then it's going to become, are you actually doing it? So
thank you. Members of the
Mr. Chairman,
members, councilman,
Mr. Chairman,
councilman,
I'd like an opportunity to ask a couple more questions.
The councilman hit his time mark at that question, and we're all set. Now we're moving to the public.
No, excuse me. You just broke the rules.
I did not break the rules.
Have a second comment period. I'm asking for the same.
He had his time. He had his time. He met the time. We are now moving to the public.
So,
councilman,
Chairman, I object.
Yes.
What you did is absolutely wrong.
Okay.
You allowed him to speak again, and now you're not allowing me or anyone else to speak again. That is absolutely wrong.
Duly noted.
Members of the public, if there's anyone from members of the public that would like to make a statement, you're welcome. Point of order.
Yes.
You allowed Councilman Gebhardt to speak again. I want to have the same opportunity. You don't change the rules in the middle of the game.
His time had not expired.
Show me the time record that you kept.
Councilman, we don't have to go through this.
Yeah, we do.
I have been very fair and very stern about the time explanations. And every other council member has honored this presentation of time. And now I'm ready to give the voice to the members of the public, and I would like them to ask the questions now. And everyone will follow the same time limit.
So show me where you kept track of Councilman Gebhardt's time that he only spoke for 7 minutes
Councilman,
instead of 10.
I am done with this conversation. Members of the public, if there is someone who would like to speak.
So you're going to call the rules as we go. You're going to play the game as
I think
we go
I made
along.
The rules very
no, I
clear. Thank
I
you.
Get it. Thank you.
I ask that the citizens state their name.
Robert Cushman.
Thank you.
I just want to make some statements instead of getting time wasted asking questions. But I guess just one question, and this is to the point. Mr. Newton's from, I guess, Texas, right? So if anybody wants to ask him additional questions after this meeting, is he going to be available? No, okay. I don't want to waste my time. So the fact that we're talking about generational spending here, and we're going to spend, an hour, and we have valid questions from certain council people, and you can't even ask the person who's sitting here right now, who probably gets paid hundreds of dollars an hour, is absolutely ridiculous, but whatever. So we've heard a couple things about minimizing risk, creating budget stability. And I guess the question is what can we do to make sure that that actually happens? Because I was at the meeting that Councilman Lattiser was talking about where Mr. Newton basically said, when a council person asked him, do you look at any other expenses when you put these plans together? And he basically said, it's not my job to do that. I don't worry about that. That's what he said. So that's up to you to worry about that. So how can you minimize your risk and create a stability in a budget? He can't do that. He's not looking at everything else. He's not looking at the $350 million for school bonds, the $300 million we need for sewer and water and infrastructure repairs, right? We're looking $30 million tonight, the sewer authority, because we've got pipes exploding in the ground. They put out a bid out for $5 million for a project. It's $15 million. He's not looking at that. But here's what we can look at. For the last 15 to 20 years, Mr. Newton's firm has been coming before this council. He's produced an actuarial report that says how much money we need to spend every single year out of our budget in our annual required contributions. And the city council has made that just about the number one priority in this city to make sure we pay those annual required contributions. We even passed a law. We actually have an ordinance on the books that says that we have to fund to the annual required contribution in his report. So what has been the impact on the city of Warwick? I've done this analysis. I've been looking at this budget for 20 years. In the 20-year time that we've used this strategy, we've spent $41 million in new tax dollars on employee benefits. We spent $6.1 million on DPW, physical resources, $14.8 million on police and fire, public safety, and a negative $1.7 million on social services. That has been the impact of following what the actuary has told us we need to pay for pensions and employee benefits. Now we got this great plan that's coming up here that we're going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on, not looking at anything else. And you guys think this is budget stability? What has happened in the city over this period of time that we've spent more than twice as much money on employee benefits than everything else combined in the city? In 2007, we froze all of our bonds. We stopped fixing up school buildings, right? What has that gotten us? We need to build two new high schools for $350 million now because we let those sink into the ground. We had roofs leaking years ago. Pilgrim High School, we couldn't fix it. We're throwing Band-Aid approaches on it. We had a road repaving program where we used to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. I've lived in the city for 30 years now. There's an old saying, I think I might have been from Ronald Reagan or whatever. If you lived in the city for that amount of time, are we better off now than we were 20 years ago? Absolutely not. The services have been cut in the city. The road paving program was decimated for over 10 years. We level funded the school budget for 10 years. We level funded them. And what did we do with the money? We cut them 5% during the budget crisis, during the Kocheri administration, the only city in the entire state of Rhode Island to take 5% off the school budget, $6 million. And guess what we did to it? We put it to the city side of the budget, not for services, to pay for pensions. That's what we did. What else do we have going on in the city? Our recreation facilities. Finally, I live on North Country Club. My councilman, Councilman Foley, they're finally fixing that up. They haven't touched that in 20 years. That's something that should be done every single day. And what we're talking about here is spending hundreds of millions of dollars without looking at the impact of what this cost is going to have, everything else that we need in the city. Why don't we do this? And I bet you Mr. Newton could do this. Why don't we have Mr. Newton do an analysis on how could we spend $350 million in 20 years for new schools? How can we come up with a plan to come up with $300 million for water and sewer infrastructure over the next 20 years? You're an actuary. You can do that if we tell you to do it, if we hire you to do it. You could put a plan together that not only looks at pensions and healthcare, but looks at everything else we need to fund in the city. Dave Tester, the school committee chairman, came over here and said, after we build these new schools and we pay off the $350 million in bonds, we're going to need to rebuild all of our elementary schools. What's that going to cost? $500 million? There's no plan to do that. Mayor Avedisian said it great years ago. We're a crisis of the moment city. We only think about planning for the future when something explodes in the ground. And that's what's going on here. You cannot, in good conscience, even think about passing this thing until you figure out. You guys can't even do a five-year forecast. Mr. Schaefer, we've been asking for a five-year forecast for years. How much money is all this going to affect the taxpayers? We never hear about the taxpayers. I want to know if we pass bonds, I think I got about 3.5 minutes left, for $350 million. If we pass the $30 million for the sewers, what is my sewer rate going to be in the next 5 years? What are my taxes going to be in the next 5 years? You guys can't give us those answers, but yet you could throw out a projection for 25 to 30 years of pension and healthcare expenses? Absolutely ludicrous and ridiculous. This city can do that kind of work, with maybe the help of Mr. Newton and some other experts, to actually find out long-term planning. What do we need to run this city? What do we need to do this? And you know the other thing, I wrote a note down here. There's no changes in the benefits here. We're giving free lifetime health care with no copay. And I don't want to get into the questions, but there was an individual before you that, from Jefferson Solutions that came here. He talked about in New York City, they had a 50 to 65% copay on those benefits for retirees. You want to look at a model program? Look at the school programs at 65 years of age. Those people are off the system. I don't think your report has anything to do with funding school and funded liabilities for healthcare, right? It doesn't. Do you know what the schools are? I think they're 50 million, right? 50 million. We got 400 million here, right? And the difference is because we're not giving out lifetime healthcare. You guys need to actually get the you know what and stop looking at pension reform, healthcare reforms that Councilman Lattisaw is looking at. If you could put in a contract the fact that other municipal unions have to sign on to put 2% in, you could start writing ordinances that says at a certain time, no more lifetime healthcare for future employees, co-pays for future employees. And then, you know, one last thing that I was interested in, I know we talk about, I don't know, Mr. Newton, I think you might have said this years ago, you don't even talk to the Municipal Retirement Board or our financial consultants to look at our asset allocation, do you? Because I think you were quoting numbers from S&P 500, but we have more of a balanced fund. And I, you know, maybe you can answer that after I get down, but I think I got about another minute going. But I just want to reiterate, there is information out there to show that the strategy that we have taken over the last 20 years to 15 years hasn't worked. We've destroyed the city. We've taken away programs for senior citizens that we used to have. You know, when I was on the council in 2007, we had a budget. It was called Family Services. You know what it was for? Families that are struggling. We could give them money. We could help them out. We had after-school programs for kids. We had something called the night program, where if there was crime in my ward, I could call the police up and say, hey, can you do some extra patrols? They're all gone. Why are they gone? Because we siphoned hundreds of millions of dollars from these programs and services to pay for unsustainable benefits. That's why we need a lot more discussion than 1 hour tonight. There should be weeks and months, and I think a commission should be set up to take a look at this. Thank you very much.
Please identify your name.
Good evening, Michelle Komar.
Good evening, thank you.
Thank you. This is a question through the chair to one of our consultants or the finance director. Does the state need to review or have any say in the requirement for annual contributions? And here we're reducing them for municipal. Does the state have a say in this? Is there any requirement by law?
I would say Director Schaefer. Please speak into the microphone.
We're required to file an annual report with the state on whether we've made our contribution. Now, many cities and towns are in the state plan, which the state sets the rate and everyone has to pay it. We've paid our annual required contribution since, I think at least the mid-1990s. So the answer is we file a report with the state. We've made our annual required contribution every year since at least 1995.
Thank you.
I was actually looking for a number. Is there a required percentage, number, amount? I don't understand this test. Is there something in state law that tells you how much you need to meet that requirement?
Well, that's really a better question for Joe to make, but his actuarial study, and you can look at it, it's posted on our website. He computes the liabilities, projected benefits into the future, and he comes up with what the number is to keep the plan fully funded.
I'm sorry, I missed the name. Who is in charge of that, please?
The gentleman that's right there. Would you like him to answer
yes,
the
question?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you.
Yes. The actual mechanics of how we come up with these numbers here are actually in your ordinance, in city ordinance.
City ordinance, but my question was state. Did anybody look at the state requirement that we're in conformance with state law here, what the state's going to approve?
Oh,
for
yes.
The reduction. You're starting reduction of municipal.
That's
for many years. Has that been looked at or kind of studied to see if the state's going to approve that?
The state will approve that. That's following. Yes, the state will approve that. It's not. There's not a. We're not going in and intentionally saying, hey, we're going to lower the contribution. There's a formula, there's a process that's occurring, and the natural outcome of that process is that drop in contribution. And
okay.
It's within the same mechanics actually that the state uses to come up with their amounts.
All right, so you consider what the state requirements are.
Correct. That's yes, ma'am.
Good answer. Thank you. I, too, am disappointed to hear the same report, same consultant come up and say, we're not looking at the big picture. If we can make this happen or not, considering the city's budget of expenses, our debt, the burden on taxpayers, which the word city here should be replaced by taxpayer, because the risk is to the taxpayer, and nobody's mentioned that. This body has the ability to review the financial burden on all the residents and taxpayers with our debt. We use APRA funds for legacy costs that we've got to make up for in this next budget. That should be interesting. We have a cap by state law without special taxes. WSA debt increase and rate hikes are paid by the same people that are paying city's taxes that are paying out of the same bank account. So we need to look at the big picture. I'd like to see an option here for getting rid of free health insurance for retirees. And how does this play into these numbers? If we look at that option, and maybe the retirement board, city employees can look at that and then make a judgment call. Are they willing to help out the city in the big picture and make this really feasible and reduce that healthcare liability by eliminating free healthcare for retirees? Now, I appreciate the discussion by the council, and I'm very concerned about what Councilman Lattiser was starting to talk about, and I would like to know his next question, please.
I apologize. This time is reserved for you. There is no yield of time, so if you have questions or if you have comments, this is your opportunity to do that.
Through the chair, I'm not asking the councilman directly. Through the chair, I'd like to know what he's concerned about, because I might feed off of that, too.
He is not presenting, so the through the chair is for the presenters of the information. So if you have a question or comment, you may utilize this time.
All right. I'd like to ask the consultant, Mr. Newman, if you plugged in the option of some kind of copay for retirees so that the health care wasn't free, how would that affect this whole scheme? Could that be a good option to instead avoid some of these reduces in contributions?
Well, in general, the sixth column there is the OPEB claims payments or premiums. So that's what's being paid on behalf of the retirees right now. And so, yes, if there were copays to that amount, naturally it would lower the amount the city has to pay towards that. If that could be done.
Okay, so we need to start somewhere. So let's say the copay matches what current employees pay. What would the scenario look like?
What a current is about 20%. She said if the retirees paid copay of about what the actives pay, so the actives pay about 20%.
Active employees typically pay around 20%.
Right. So if that could be applied to retirees immediately.
Right, just an if, right.
Then, you would column six could be cut by 20%.
I didn't hear that answer. I'm sorry.
If you could do that to retirees, then yes, column six, which is the payouts that you're making to current retiree premiums and projected, would be reduced by 20%.
Okay. And so the bottom line number would be?
I don't know. I'd have to add them up there, but probably about 25 million off that total.
So we would save 25 million off of which line item?
So the sixth column is what the city is paying or projected to pay in premiums for retirees going out in the future.
Okay.
In dollars. Dollars actually paid. So next year is 13 million. So if 20% of that were shifted to retirees, that would be, $2.2 million.
So a 20% copay for retirees shifts in the positive more money for taxpayers, not the city, taxpayers to contribute to the municipal pension contribution. Is that what you're saying?
It could be used in that way.
Okay. So these are options that need to be looked at. I thank you for that. I'd appreciate that in another column. And maybe you need direction from the city. I understand you're a consultant. You got to go by your scope of work and services and contract. Well, but I think that's helpful information. Because I don't think a 20% copay, if it's asked for existing workers, that that's too much to ask for retirees. I don't know anywhere else where there's free healthcare for retirees around. And I'd like the count. I missed the answer due to poor acoustics in the beginning. What's the process for this suggestion that you have to get it reviewed by the city? Does the administration make the decision? Does it go back to the council? What's the process, please?
There are definitely pieces that have to be approved by the council because it would take an ordinance to change the Police Fire One funding. So that piece, at a minimum, would have to go back to the council. But I would imagine since it's part of the budget process, it would all come back to council.
Okay. And I believe, Mr. Schaefer, you identified that ordinance at the very beginning of your presentation.
It was poor acoustics at the time.
Thank you, yes.
And no other council actions required for making these kind of reductions and contributions to municipal?
I would say there's two changes to the ordinance that we need to do. One is the change to fire and police one funding strategy. And I think we have to have something out that talks about getting to a 2.5% annual increase in OPEB contributions as a goal for the city. We have to have something to hang our hat on to go to the rating agencies, to give comfort to our financial statements. So I think we would need to have two things.
Okay. I'll talk to you later about the exact reference to that ordinance because I don't know if I can find it. And my last point or question is, where in the process does it best make sense to review this proposal? When we look at the budget, which has this year's proposed budget, which has AFRA funds that used for legacy costs we now have to make up. I don't know if the $350 million bond for debt for the two new schools will be released, and whatever WSA has in their enterprise funds for increased rates. So we know that the total burden of taxes and fees on the residents, taxpayers of the city. Where in the process would that go? Would you review this proposal by itself, or would you review it in light of this year's budget, next year's budget, something that is not looking at just one credit card, but looking at the health of all our credit cards?
Your time is up. Mr. Schaefer, did you want to answer on that?
Just that's what the annual budget's for.
Certainly.
So we'll see that kind of information in the budget.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What was the answer, please?
That's what the budget process is for. So we'll see that information in the budget.
Okay. So the answer is this won't be coming before the council until after the budget. That was my question.
We don't know. This is a presentation. This is
right.
Nothing being proposed. It's a presentation.
Right.
So that's where we are with this. And if there's anything that we're going to put together as a whole package, that would be the budget.
But there's two ordinances, or at least one
that
needs to come.
There's two ordinances he referred to. They're not open. They're not being discussed. There's no vote on them. He said, if anything's done, it would be those two ordinances. End of story. That's what he said.
Right. And my question hasn't been answered is when, in the timing of the light of the budget, will those questions be answered?
When they're proposed and it's docketed within this body, if it so happens to be.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker, please identify.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. I have a couple questions for the actuary. So in going through your presentation, I think in the second or third page, it assumes no changes in the healthcare plan as is, correct? And I'm assuming that this presentation and this analysis takes into consideration up until June 30th, 2022. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so contained within your analysis, there's no further analysis as to what's taken place in the financial market in the last 9 months, from June 30th until today. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. on page 9 on this chart, under column 8, I'm assuming that's the city's contribution. Is that correct on the payments?
Yes, sir, in dollars or millions of dollars.
That's our annual ARC payment, right?
Correct.
So in 2023, our annual ARC payment is $52.4 million to cover.
That's my estimate, yep.
Okay. The question I have, can you tell me what's the maximum amount of taxes that the city wall can raise annually if we have a maximum tax increase?
I cannot tell you that.
You don't know that? Okay. So you don't take that into consideration, how much revenue the city can bring in?
No, because that's one of the independent questions you want asked is,
okay,
ignoring that, what do you need? And then then you compare to that, you know, that's what the city does and say, well, now we have a problem because we don't have enough
okay.
to do that.
So if you look at column 8 and you look at the cumulative increase in costs
mm-hmm.
in those 9 years, that cumulative increase in cost is $68 million. Correct? Okay. Would you agree reasonable. To that? Without,
Seems
I mean,
right.
I did the yep. math. I can show yep. it to you,
no,
right?
No, it looks right.
$68 million cumulative increase in costs. So presently, the city of Warwick is about $8.6 million at a maximum tax increase. So if we take those 9 years and divide that into that $68 million, we're looking at $7.55 million a year on the average just to fund that. Right? Would you agree that $68 million divided by the 9 years, we got $7.5 million?
If those
average.
Are the right numbers, yeah.
Right? So what that chart says is that over the course of those 9 years, on the average, we need to find an additional $7.5 million somewhere to keep everything stable as is with no changes to the pension plan. That's concerning to me. So that says if we have a maximum tax increase just to keep this stable, we're going to have $1.1 million left over somewhere, $1.1 million on a maximum tax increase. Now, I know you're not probably aware of this, but there's been discussion for the last 9 months about borrowing $350 million for new schools, which will be added into our annual payments of, in the best case scenario, for Mr. Schaefer, in the best case scenario, we need another $13.5 million a year. In the worst case scenario, and we haven't taken into consideration commodities escalation, and $19.5 million. But he also said in his last paragraph that the city could easily see upwards of $50 million a year annual deficits. So I think the questions that Mr. Cushman had were valid, where we can say, you know, we have a very educated, intelligent man here that's come a long way, and we're being limited for an hour, or 10 minutes, right? And assuming, and we're going to use this as, you know, speculation, that is, if this program was to pass, this affects generations of people, right? And we're talking about it for 10 minutes each. 10 minutes. And the only businessman on the council with real life experience is limited. And I have a problem with that. I mean, we spent more time talking about yard sales than we are about a financial plan that's going to affect generations of people. You're going to have great-grandchildren, Vinny, by the time this thing is implemented, all right? So when I look at the mathematics, let's just stick to the simple mathematics. We need another $7.5 million right there just to cover, to keep the status quo. Best case scenario, we need another $13.5 million for the schools. Tonight we have before us $30 million for sewers. Mr. Schaefer can't give us a five-year projection. So what I'd like to know from Mr. Schaefer is, speculatively speaking, if we would assume that this was to be implemented and everything worked perfectly, and I'm sure you've done your homework, what's the impact going to be on my tax base, Mr. Schaefer? Can you answer that question?
Well, first of all, the plan, we go to another page, is for 2.5% annual increase to fund OPEB contribution and keep our pension plans financed.
I know that. All I'm saying is this is really a yes, no question.
Excuse me, Mr. Kirk, please allow this.
The tax cap, and Joe was aware of this, he worked hard at keeping the numbers down to make the plan work. The tax cap is a 4% levy increase every year. That's the state limitation.
Thank you.
So my question being, can you tell me what my increase of tax is going to be? What you're saying is assume a 4% maximum tax levy every year for this plan?
I'm saying that we get into a position where we can comply with the tax cap with some room to spare by adopting this plan.
All right, but you can't give a definitive what the tax increase would be to the average taxpayer.
That was not the objective of this presentation. The presentation was to address our OPEB liability. Mm. Joe's come up with a plan that gets there with a 2.5% annual contribution increase.
Okay. My next question is, Joe, if you look at the first couple of pages of your presentation, I believe it was page four. So you show the unfunded liabilities and you show what the combined ratio is of unfunded liabilities, right? So with those four pension plans combined, we're looking at a 61-62% funding ratio. If we factored in the unfunded healthcare liabilities, right? Because it's a payment, right? It's a program, right? We got $405 million of unfunded healthcare. So why don't we factor in the unfunded liabilities of the healthcare program to come up with an actual number of what our combined unfunded liabilities are, where we lie in the valuations, what our percentages. And the reason I say that is pretty easy. If I had four credit cards, right, and I'm paying the minimum on each one, but I'm paying every month, but I got another one that I got $100,000 on, but I can't pay it, right, that brings my unfunded liabilities and my percentage of liquidity way down. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So why haven't you combined in your analysis the fact, because this is deceptive. It's a deceptive chart. It says, well, everything looks good. When we combine these, we're at 61%. But if we forget about the problem one, police, fire, and one, we're at 79 to 80%. And the state says 79 to 80% is considered solvent and liquid and healthy. But we're really not at 70. If we say that we don't have roads to repair, if we don't have sewer infrastructure to repair, if we don't have to buy fuel, we look even better. But the reality is that we do have an unfunded liability for healthcare, which should be factored into that to give the actual realistic unfunded liabilities valuation, accounting 101 basic principles. And in the absence of doing that, this becomes deceptive to know what our financial strength and weaknesses is. So I don't understand why has not been factored into this program, because let's face it, it's the elephant in the room, right?
Well, it has been factored in, and that's actually the narrative of the presentation.
It's not factored into that chart.
In the past, they've been completely separate. They've never even been talked about at the same meeting. And so the narrative here is we start with the pension, and now we introduce the fact, wait a minute, we have this OPEB that hasn't been brought in before, and now the funding plan brings those together, and now we're going to look at them in total looking going forward. So
but I'm saying at present time.
So I understand your point, you know, If all you're doing is looking at this one slide, you say, well, if you want the total picture, we need that unfunded liability on there. I do not disagree with that from the city's perspective of financial stability. What I'm saying is the way this was put together, we were talking about the pension first, and then we were going to show, but we also have this OPEB issue, and now we're going to bring them together and start talking about those together. So
if you had to do some quick math off the top of your head and you factored in that unfunded liabilities and you added it to that chart, where do you think we would be on combined liabilities? On page four.
We actually have that down here. So it's 400.
Yeah, it was like 405, I think.
Yeah, so half of our. So, well, that's probably not right. I don't know. I would guess in the 40s.
So we'd be about, if we factored into that, we'd be like 40% solvent.
Between 40 and 50% would be my guess. So.
I don't think that's a good healthy number, 40 and 50% solvent. That doesn't leave a lot of money for $350 million worth of schools, infrastructure, roofs leaking, sewers, another $30 million that's coming before the finance chairman tonight. So it leaves me concerned that we can't talk about this for more than 10 minutes when it's going to affect generations of residents of Warwick. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I defer to the council president.
Thank you very much. It is now 7 o'clock. We're going to pause. We're going to start the full council meeting. We're going to do the roll call, Pledge of Allegiance. We have a guest, general communications. Then we're going to come right back and into committee. So individuals that are looking to speak on this topic will have that opportunity. Thank you.